Trish, you're on the line with Rob out in Calgary. It'll be a taped interview. Rob, you're on with 2013 WWE Hall of Fame inductee Trish Stratus.
How's that for an introduction?
I like it. That has a nice ring, I'll say that.
So everywhere you go now, you're going to be 2013 WWE Hall of Fame entry Trish Stratus, right?
You know, it's a funny thing because I've been doing some interviews and lately they've been saying, well, here's Hall of Fame Trish Stratus, Hall of Famer Trish Stratus. And I was like, where is the actual point? Am I only going to be called that once the ceremony happens? Am I officially right now a Hall of Famer? So it's an interesting thing. It'll be nice to see just Hall of Famer Trish Stratus.
See, as far as I'm concerned, it's almost like an Oscar. It's always Oscar winner or even Oscar nominee when about actors or actresses, right?
Absolutely. So, oh my, that's kind of how I've been explaining it to like the people who aren't wrestling fans around me. I'm like, no, but you don't understand, you know, and then I'll tell you what, the speech and the dress and the shoes and the preparation that's going into this evening, it certainly is my Oscar night for sure.
Well, I've seen your career grow. Me and my buddies were huge fans back in the heyday. We kind of keep our eyes on it now, but obviously when it boomed, we were all over it. In fact, I remember actually watching the episode of Gallagher where you introduced to DeMarco. Was that actually like the first moment that you talked to WWE?
It actually is. Yeah, that was, that was the first time that I spoke with Carl and him and I, you know, he was the first one who really said to me like, because I guess there had been, I think just before that I'd done Off the Record. And so there was some internet rumors swirling about me being involved only because I was on this Off the Record show. And so he sort of like, oh, I think I've heard of you. Like they said they knew the Trish Stratus name, which was kind of cool. And he had said, yeah, if you want this, you know, send your stuff to us and we'll have a look at it. And, you know, but he also made a point of saying, just so you know, this is a crazy industry and it's a pretty hard industry and this is what you can expect. And he laid it out for me like, you will be away from family. You'll be battered and bruised at times. You'll be, you know, and I just listened and I'll never forget him telling me that and always be thankful because going into it, I kind of knew what to expect. And it also made me go, yeah, actually, this is what I'm willing to make those sacrifices. So, he was a big part in the beginning of my career for sure.
What was the first real big eye-opening moment for you when you kind of got behind the stage? Because obviously you were a fan beforehand. You got into fitness. You were ready as far as, you started as a valet.
Yeah.
What was kind of the first eye-opening experience behind the scenes for you?
There's two things. I mean, first of all, you get hired. Visa paperwork got done. I was brought on the road, but they don't know the role yet for me. So you're kind of just there and as a fan, you're just hanging out with the superstars, which is like really cool. You're around everyone and you're watching their storylines develop. And I was always kind of a keener, so I would submit, oh, maybe I could do this. And I would submit all these ideas and sort of put me with different superstars and come how I could valet or how I could debut. And so you sit for like a few weeks on the road, and it was a couple of months, I believe, on the road. And of course, one day they go, okay, so you're going to be debuting tonight. Here's your character, and this is what you're doing. I'm like, oh my God. And that was in Long Island. And, I'll never forget it. I was sent out to the mall to get an outfit. They said, just, you know, get something nice. You're going to come out twice, and you're going to scope Test and Albert. And I knew that I was going to be a heel, and we were going to put this team together, TNA. And I remember going to the mall and thinking, I really wanted to get a sort of a character-defining outfit. I mean, just for me personally, knowing, you know, growing up watching, say, The Undertaker, I knew if I had to put a Halloween costume on, I know what The Undertaker would wear, you know. So I went out and found this, you know, the cowboy hat, the long trench and the boots, and sort of my outfit was established, I think, that evening. So there's that cool moment where you're suddenly like, doo-doo-doo, just, you know, backstage hanging out with the superstar, to suddenly like, you're going to be performing tonight. And then the second part of that was, you know, being a valet and going out there. And, of course, I had done, I'd done about 6 months of training at Ron Hutchison's gym here in Toronto. And, of course, you know, there's the one day that you may get more physical in the ring, and I'll never forget the day you'll be having a match this evening. It'll be you and TNA versus the Hardy Boys and Lita. And it was like, oh, my God, because knowing how to wrestle is one thing, but doing it in that ring, on that stage, at a professional level, and entertaining, and the whole, you know, it's a whole different story. And that was a really nerve-wracking moment. But of course, had the guys were really supportive, and you know, thankfully, I had the experience of being ringside and being able to watch the guys very closely, and I learned a lot. So that eventually translated.
I'm just running down the list here, and obviously Wendy Richter went in not too long ago. I believe Moolah's in there. What does it mean to you to be one of, like, you could almost count them on one hand, the female entertainers to be in the WWE Hall of Fame?
Well, I've always been aware that, you know, as a female in the company, we're obviously in the minority, and it's something that we fought for, knowing that we wanted to, you know, be viewed as a performer in the ring. You want to be viewed as equally to the men. Initially, I don't think we were. We were sort of the sideshow. The women were sort of like, I want to say, eye candy or sideshow. Eventually, that was our mission. You know, I remember Fit Finley, my mentor, you know, we worked very closely to really redefine the way women's wrestling was perceived. And that's something I said. I said, I don't want to fight like a girl. And we said, okay, let's not do that. And I really felt like there's no reason why, you know, the women couldn't represent the same way the guys do in the ring. And so, you know, we knew that we were definitely in a minority, but in a card that's about, you know, what, say 15 matches, we're the one match, we're the one female match. So, you know, you're in the minority, but then at the end of the day, you know, when you've made it, or you've had a storyline that's as, you know, intriguing and gripping as the men's storyline, and have that same interest for, like, your pay-per-view match, for example, you know that to be a female making it in a male-dominated world is a real special thing. So certainly being in the Hall of Fame, as I think it's the sixth female to go in, it's that is a very special thing for me, and it shows me that, you know, it's not going to end here. You know, a lot of women did a lot of great work, and there's many women who will follow after me for sure.
You're back doing the fitness stuff, and was where you kind of started out.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like kind of coming back to that? I mean, as far as wrestling goes, you've retired young. You see, mm-hmm. like, not that I can compare, you know, Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair. They seem to be slightly ageless. but what you've done is, you know, you got out when at the height, and now you're going back to your roots. What's it like getting back into fitness?
It's awesome. I'm spreading the same message that I set out to spread in the beginning. Obviously, with health and fitness, that was my, you know, what I started to do. I was out there just basically spreading the word of health and fitness and leading a healthy, balanced life. It's funny because when I was a kid, I mean, even when my plans got on hold when I was in university, I was planning to become a doctor. So I always said, well, the mission to become a doctor was just and make people healthy. So now it's interesting how the people I can reach now because of what I've done is so much wider, and I'm able to touch that many more people and influence that many more people. So to go back and be able to have this platform that I do, it's very powerful. And it's been fun to have my success kind of be parlayed into my business success. And I learned a lot from, you know, Vince McMahon, even watching him and his business, his modes, the way he runs the business and the way he treats his employees. And it's a lot of stuff that I bring into my business sense and the way they run the company and they promote things and marketing, all that. You know, those years you don't realize that I'm taking everything in. It's something that now I apply to my business practices. So it's been a huge experience, and it's been a big influence, and it's certainly nice to come back to this industry and be making a difference.
Obviously, fans of WWE, I don't think it's a 50-50 split, probably 70-30 male-female.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
I would say so, yeah.
Maybe
60-40 now.
Oh, yeah? What would you say to the girlfriends, the wives, the sisters of male fans to get into WrestleMania 29?
Oh, I would say, you know, there's always a flavor for the women, for sure. I mean, besides the muscly, hulky men that are always fun to watch as well, there's always going to be a female aspect to watch. The women of the WWE, the divas of the WWE, we represent this, you know, strong, powerful woman, and it's something certainly to look up to. Like I said earlier, as a female making it in a male-dominated world, it's a special thing, and you know, it's something for sure to be looking up to, and just to have a positive role model, knowing that we're fueled by health and having a positive impact on women. I'd say tune in. I think that's worth tuning in.
If I had more than
The Rock has really nice pecs.
Oh, The Rock has really. he's bulked up lately, hasn't he?
He's quite large.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. But I guess G.I. Joe, that does that to you. I guess being part of that franchise does that to you.
I'm sure his kung fu grip is a little bit better as well.
I betcha.
You know what? I got into wrestling back. I remember seeing on my uncle's coffee table the WWE magazine with Demolition. That's how far back I go with wrestling. And to see your entire career, to be able to watch that and to have the opportunity to talk to you today is mind-blowing. So thank you very much for taking the time, and congratulations on the Hall of Fame.
Thanks, Rob. I appreciate it.
Good luck in the future. And like I was going to say, if I had more than one person behind me, I'd start a one more match chant. But because it's only me, it would sound really nerdy.
So. It would be awkward for sure.
Like one
and
more.
It was nice to speak to a Canadian, for sure.
Oh, hey, anytime. Anytime you need to get something out to just outside of Calgary, Canada, let me know.
Amazing. Thanks,
awesome.
Rob.